This is Chris Bleck on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. Thanks for listening to the Bleck and Abdallah podcast. It's presented by Coors Light. Stay inside and buy your Coors Light online. Find out how at get.coorslight.com. Coors Light, take time to chill.
This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
I'd like you to meet someone who's really special.
It's Bleck and Abdallah.
A real inspiration.
Follow us on the gram at Bleck and Abdallah and at ESPN underscore Chicago.
Michael Jordan had the footage. Why is it coming out now? Like, I get why they moved it up because of COVID-19, and it gives us all something to look forward to. But why is it coming out now? We'll answer that in just a second. But we do have some Bulls news at this hour. Tim McMahon from ESPN.com, he's their Mavericks reporter. He's saying sources. Mavericks Vice President of Basketball Operations Michael Finley interviewed for the Bulls general manager job. Finley, a Chicago native who was twice an all-star in his 15-year career, spent the last seven seasons in the Dallas front office. So Michael Finley, a name who has interviewed for the Bulls GM position for Arturis Karnišovas, and whether or not Finley will be hired by the Bulls. Originally, I thought Finley was a name the Bulls should absolutely look at and a name that they should probably hire for the job. I'm glad he got an interview, and I'm glad that his name is out there.
Yeah, the team that that got Luka, that got Doncic, I'm cool with that.
Well, I mean, well, not only that, think about this. Recently, the Mavericks, it's not just their number one pick has hit.
They're, you know,
Jalen Brunson was a nice find, a very solid player. Mm-hmm. They do a good. The other thing the Mavericks have done over the course of time is when they are a competitive team, they have a very good ability of finding guys either on two-way contracts or guys who are like the has-been player who kind of bounces around. They bring them in and they get something out of them.
They're also not afraid of taking risks either.
Yeah, and that's something the Bulls haven't really done as of late. Mm-hmm. And you're right, risks are important. You know why? Because Mark Cuban and that Dallas organization, they knew what they wanted. They went and they got Doncic. Mm-hmm. They wanted him. They made the move. They made the trade. They landed their guy, and they're productive going forward. So the documentary comes out on Sunday, The Last Dance. Why is it coming out now? Why is Jordan allowing these tapes to be released?
Because he's petty, dude. Think about it. Like, Jordan doesn't do anything.
No.
Like, when Jason Aaron, the director, right, was talking about him, and he's made a bunch of appearances. He's been everywhere. He was on with Waddle and Sylvie this week. He's going to be on with them every Monday at 3 o'clock to recap every episode, right? All 5 weeks, right? Dude is not Jason, but Jordan is petty. He thinks about this stuff. He thinks about his legacy. He thinks about what people think of him. He doesn't do anything. Think about the Kobe stuff, right? Mm-hmm. Everybody wanted him to talk at the Chicago All-Star game because it happened close to when Kobe died in the plane helicopter crash, and they wanted him to. It's in your city. You should be doing the city where you won championships. You know, this is the best thing to happen to Chicago basketball since you won a championship, you know, besides Derrick Rose being here, but that never amounted to any, you know, championships or anything. So you should be here he didn't do anything. He waited until Kobe's funeral and gave one of the best speeches that day, if not the best speech that day, because he never does anything. He doesn't feel like he needs to do anything. So when he does feel like he needs to do something, it has meaning. It definitely has meaning.
So Jason Hare, that he was on with Waddle and Sylvie, like you said, why Jordan decided to do the documentary now? Here's Jason.
Michael was already on board when I was approached, but it's interesting to note, and I don't want to speak for Michael here, this is pure conjecture, but just over the three interviews that we've spent and the 8 hours I've spent talking to him, it would surprise me if it wasn't due in some part to the fact that season that he agreed to do this was when the Golden State Warriors won 73 games. And when LeBron James went back to Cleveland and won a title for them, and all of a sudden this discussion was starting to be had on these talk shows and the interminable talk shows that where people are screaming at each other in the morning on TV. Are the Warriors better than the Bulls? Are the 2016 Warriors better than the 96 Bulls? They eclipsed Michael Jordan's 72 wins. Are they better than him? Is LeBron James as great or greater than Michael Jordan? We'll be right back to talk about that for 3 hours. I think just I have a feeling that that probably grated at him. Now, in his defense, he's the last guy who would engage in a discussion like that, especially in public. He has no interest. For all of his prolific accomplishments, he's surprisingly reticent to talk about his own greatness. He will talk about specific games where he performed great. And he remembers, he has a photographic memory for these games. So when we break down the Craig Elo game and, of course, the shot in 98 and, you know, dozens of other games during the course of this series, he remembered everything. I read over 10,000 pages and studied for 2 years for this project, and he was correcting me on some of the stats that I had memorized, and he was right. So, but he's very reticent to say that he's better than anybody or worse than anybody. He just doesn't want to be involved in that discussion. So it's pure conjecture. But I have a feeling that he knew on several levels that this was the right time to tell the story.
So that's Jason Hare on Waddle and Sylvie, the director of the documentary, The Last Dance, which will debut on Sunday night, Abdallah. He's right. You're right. To me, for the younger generation, Jordan is not only the greatest of all time, he is the logo. He is the shoes. And when I say the logo, I'm not saying the logo of the NBA.
Jumpman.
He's the Jumpman logo. He is the most important sports figure who we don't see or hear from at all. You know what I mean? It's like,
I mean,
he is so big and everyone is so obsessed with him. But in recent time, the last 10 to 15 years, you almost never hear him speak. You almost never see him in public. And I know not necessarily in public, but you never see him on TV. When do you see Michael Jordan on anything? You don't.
You only
see highlights.
The only thing you ever get from Jordan is once a year at his basketball camp, you get that grainy cell phone video of him taking shots at, whoever it is.
Beating
or
campers at shooting drills.
Exactly. And you're like, you guys aren't getting any shoes because I'm going to hit these 10 in a row.
I'm going to hit these 10 in a row with my eyes closed. And thanks for spending $6,000 to come to my basketball camp.
And I'm not saying, I'm not taking a shot at Michael by saying he's petty. Guys of his caliber are aware of their legacy. I talked about it with Tom Brady and why I didn't think he should have gone to Tampa Bay.
You talked with Tom Brady about this?
No. On the air, here, with you, with people.
Hold on. Sean Davis is producing the show. That sounded like you said, I talked about it with Tom Brady.
That's exactly right.
Sounded like you just dropped in there that you had a one-on-one conversation with Tom Brady.
No, with meaning like concerning Tom Brady.
No. It sounded as if you tried to slip in there without us realizing that you had a private conversation with Tom Brady.
Well, if I can time travel,
right? Or Sean,
if
right?
I can,
that's how it sounded, right?
Yeah, that's exactly how it sounded.
If I can time travel, why? We talked about last hour.
So just to clarify, you have not talked to Tom Brady.
I don't know.
What do you mean you don't know?
Maybe I have.
There's a possibility.
When are you releasing the tapes?
Maybe I haven't.
You got tapes there?
30 years.
In 30 years, the Abdallah Brady tapes
will
come
called
out?
The other Last Dance.
What? The other Last Dance? That's a terrible documentary name.
Well, I mean, look, I got 30 years to come up with
Did you actually have a Brady point, or should we go to break?
No, my point is that I thought it was better, from when I talked to my friend Tom, I told him it was better. Like, I have this image in my head of, and I told Tom this, of him walking off.
You told me but about Tom, but you told Tom. Yeah.
His last game, whenever it is at Lambeau or at Gillette, waving to the crowd, saying goodbye, all that kind of stuff in a Patriots uniform. Like it tarnishes the legacy for me a little bit. The same way Jordan didn't play his final season with Chicago. It doesn't, he's still the greatest player ever, But every Chicagoan wanted him to end in Chicago. And so to me, Jordan thinks about all this stuff. He thinks about, he's constantly, you know, talking with Michael Wilbon, and people have mentioned this before, and he's talked about it on the air. Mm-hmm. I didn't mean I've talked
you
to Michael
talked
Wilbon.
You talked to Wilbon?
No, he's talked about it on the air. See, I did that for you. He talked about it on the air and stuff like
what is
he
happening?
Gets asked about this stuff all the time. You know, Steph Curry and the Warriors and them beating the 72 team, and then, you know, with LeBron and the championships and who's better and all this kind of stuff. And then he's like, look, I'm going to release this and you guys are going to know I'm better than everybody.
Okay, so let's see if I can Abdallah this tease going to break, right? So should the Bears draft Jalen Hurts is the segment coming up next.
Yeah.
But let's do it this way. So earlier today, I was working out with Jalen Hurts, and we talked about whether or not he wanted to be drafted by the Bears. I'll tell you about that story next.
You are listening to Black and Abdallah.
ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
You talked to Brady.
This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
This is Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000.
The more I think about it, as we head towards the NFL draft Thursday night, you can hear coverage of it right here on ESPN 1000. Black and Abdallah will be with you on Saturday from 2 to what? 6:30 with your draft coverage. We're going to be here for a while for the end of the draft.
2:30 to 6.
That was close.
Nope.
Well, I mean, you and I will be in the building at 2 o'clock, but we'll be here till 6.
Yeah.
So I was close. Give me credit. So as I'm looking at the NFL draft and as we prep for the NFL draft, the more I think about it, the more I'm not against. Mm-hmm. If the Bears have an opportunity to draft Jalen Hurts, then maybe they should do it. You know, we talk to many people about college football and kind of scout these players. And the more I hear, the more I'm starting to convince myself that Jalen Hurts would be a good pick for the Chicago Bears if they can find a way to get him in the second round.
I mean, I don't think they need to find a way. I think he's going to be available. Like, if you look at...
Really? You assume that no one will pick him before the Bears' first second-round pick? Because, you know, we were talking with Brett Coleman about an hour ago here on the show, and he thinks that he has the skill set to be a first-round draft pick. We know how quarterbacks go in the NFL draft. Once one goes off the board, they start to fall quickly. I could see a team like the Patriots at the end of the first round saying, hey, we need that guy. We need a quarterback. We need the next guy.
I think, look, nothing in the NFL draft is set, obviously. But, like, I think that if there isn't a run on quarterbacks, like, it depends on how many people trade up, right? If the Patriots feel like they need to trade up, if the Lions move and Tua goes third overall, and then Herbert has to go to, you know, the Dolphins, and then the Chargers end up taking Love, and then, you know, Jordan, and then if there's more and more teams moving up to take quarterbacks, then no, I don't think he's going to be there. I don't want them to trade up for him, but I think if he's there at 43, take him.
Here's Mel Kiper Jr. on SportsCenter this week talking about Jalen Hurts.
I think when you look at where he could go, I think Pittsburgh would be an ideal spot to be the heir apparent to Big Ben. You could work him into packages like Lamar Jackson did behind Joe Flacco his rookie year. I bring up Taysom Hill, what he's meant to New Orleans. He's going to be possibly the heir apparent to Drew Brees. Teddy Bridgewater, they let go. He's in Carolina now. So that's how highly regarded Taysom Hill is in Sean Payton's mind. So I think you look at a guy like Jalen Hurts, could he go first? I heard one team said maybe late first. New England, obviously. When you think about the Patriots, could have some interest. I heard that. Didn't want to put him at 23. I think that's way too high. Question with him, Kev, is will he see the field well enough as a passer? Everybody puts up numbers for Lincoln Riley at Oklahoma. You saw progress as a passer, but enough progress to warrant being a first-round pick? I don't think so. Second-round pick's a little rich for me, but that's where I hear he's going to go. In fact, I hear he's not getting out of round two, and that would be Pittsburgh's first pick overall. They have no one. They pick in the second. I am taking Jalen Hurts.
Alex Brown earlier this week on Carmen and Yurko. You can hear the guys 12-2 right here on ESPN 1000. Should the Bears draft a quarterback, mainly Jalen Hurts?
If Jalen Hurts is there, mm-hmm. I'm taking him. I am taking him. I understand some of the stuff that we have. I mean, we need a strong safety. We put Eddie Jackson back at free safety. I would love to get Delpit. But if I got to choose, if Delpit is there and the and Jalen Hurts is there, I think he could be that guy that you've been looking for a long time. I think he'd be that guy. So I just like his natural leadership ability. I mean, you look at what he did at Alabama. You look at what he was able to do at Oklahoma and in his 1 year there. I mean, he changed a lot that was going on, and guys follow him. Not because he's a rah-rah guy either. He's not a real rah-rah guy. He makes plays, whether that's with his feet, with his arm. He does it, man. I like him. I think it'd be a tough choice if Delpit and Hurts is there, because we desperately, in my opinion, I think we desperately need a strong safety that can come down and hit. And my gosh, having Delpit and Eddie Jackson back there, ooh, man, that would make for a hell of a defense. So
that's Alex Brown. Did you hear that?
If
Jalen Hurts is there, the Bears should look at him. So there's Alex Brown, Mel Kiper, the draft stock for Jalen Hurts rising. And then we get to today. Mike Tenenbaum was on with Cap and Company earlier today. Did you hear this, Abdallah? Did you by chance catch this?
I did, but you should play it for the people.
Here's Mike Tenenbaum on with David Kaplan earlier today. Should the Bears draft Jalen Hurts?
So he really struggles throwing the ball more than 20 yards down the field. That's when you watch him play, it shows up statistically. I think he's somewhat similar to Trubisky. You know, Mitchell can make great plays with his feet. He's a good athlete. But Mitchell really struggles when you try to get the ball down the field. So I think their strengths and weaknesses are similar. I think the really intriguing place to me for Hurts in particular is Baltimore. Because, Cap, I think 5 years from now, could you imagine when teams have two players in the backfield that could both run it and throw it? Mm-hmm. Or you think about you flex Jalen Hurts out wide and Lamar Jackson throws him the ball and you're a corner and you come up and you try to tackle Hurts and he throws the ball over your head, or if the ball's out in the perimeter and people are playing off, he could run it. So I think he's a tremendous weapon. I just struggle with his accuracy down the field.
Okay, so that's Mike Tenenbaum on Cap and Company earlier today. So earlier this week on Cap and Company, I talked about an article from ESPN.com.
Yeah.
And the article lists off statistical categories for all the quarterbacks, and the article is an ESPN Plus article, and it's labeled Sizing Up the 2020 NFL Draft Quarterback Class. Do the stats match the tape for Joe Burrow, Tua Tagovailoa, and others? Okay, so in the article, it says it looks at five key statistical areas from ESPN Stats and Information, and they pull two telling stats from each of the 2019 college football season in those categories. They take the stats, they take the items, they crunch all the numbers, and they give you the information. So the reason I play Tenenbaum is because there is the concept and notion out there that Jalen Hurts cannot throw downfield. He's inaccurate. The problem is, statistically, and I know Tenenbaum said there, analytically, it doesn't match up. That's factually incorrect. In fact, if you look at it, in the column that's on ESPN.com, what does the NFL out route show us? Hitting the out route, a pass that is 11 to 20 yards downfield outside the numbers in 2019 in college football. The number one quarterback in all of college football hitting the out route, an NFL route, is Jalen Hurts. He threw 78.9% completion percentage while throwing the out route. Number two was Tua Tagovailoa at 70%. Joe Burrow, 59%. Jake Fromm, 53%. Justin Herbert, 51%. Now, his off-target percentage on those same throws in all of college football, Jalen Hurts had the lowest off-target percentage of any quarterback in college football last year at 10.5% while trying to hit the out route. So not only did he complete the most passes, he also had the least off-target throws out of any quarterback in all of college football last season. Number two was Jordan Love at 15.2%, Jake Fromm at 18.5%, Justin Herbert at 19.9%. So that's for hitting the out route. You continue on with the column. Which quarterback hits his spots the best? Off target percentage in 2019, 10 or fewer yards downfield. Number one, Joe Burrow. Number two, Eason. Number three, Tagovailoa. Number four, Hurts. Okay, he's number four. That's fine. 11 to 20 yards downfield. So past the 10 yards, close to the line of scrimmage. Number one by a wide margin was Jalen Hurts. 7.7%. He was off target 11 to 20 yards downfield. The next closest was Tua at 12.5%. Herbert, 14%. Fromm, 14%. Burrow, 14%.
He also threw those passes, Chris, at a higher rate than anybody else. He threw 10 or more air yards. 45% of his throws were 10 or more air yards.
So he did it better.
He did it more often and was still more accurate.
So it's fine if you don't think that Hurts is the fit for the Bears. That's fine. That can be your opinion.
He is, though.
But if your opinion is based on the concept that the analytics do not match up, that Hurts can't throw downfield, you're wrong.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports. It's Black and Abdallah. Follow us on the gram at Black and Abdallah and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Thanks to Sean Davis for producing tonight's show. If you missed Brett Coleman on the NFL draft talking quarterbacks, great information about Jalen Hurts. You can download the podcast on the ESPN Chicago app. You can also download it on iTunes, Spotify, and download, rate, and subscribe the podcast. We also have a ton of good football content on the podcast page. We talked to Adam Amin last week. We talked with Dan Rubenstein, friends from the show, previewing the NFL draft. Benjamin Solak from the Draft Network, and also Nicole Auerbach and Adam Rittenberg, all in the last couple weeks previewing the NFL draft. So find that content on the ESPN Chicago app, and then also download and listen and get ready for the NFL draft, which starts on Thursday. A lot of information going into that week, Adam. And did you see this bit of news? The league will hold mock draft Monday for teams. All 30 teams will participate in an NFL mock draft in order to test their systems and process ahead of Thursday's draft. It will be done remotely, according to ESPN's Dan Graziano. Teams may choose from former greats as opposed to current prospects during Monday's trial run, as no one wants to tip their hand before the big event.
Do you think the Redskins make a joke? Do you think that Ron Rivera makes a joke and says, hey, Ryan, you want to trade for this? Because I would. No, it's, look, well, I think you and I were sitting here before the show.
The word that's funny here is may. Teams may choose from former greats. Well, obviously, they're not going to tip their hand? No, of course not. Is a team dumb enough to do that? You think there's a team out there dumb enough to be like, I will take Justin Herbert?
The easy joke is yes, the Bears.
The Bears are not going to be involved in the first round.
Well, they still have to test their system.
Well, yeah, but
they're going to go in order. No, but they'll probably
do. They'll just do their Raiders pick.
They'll have their Raiders pick, and they will do it there. No, you and I before the show, Waddle and Sylvie ends at 6, obviously. We were in the post-game show.
Right.
And great interviews from throughout the day, and you and I are sitting here, and we are watching the WNBA draft.
Yeah.
Right? And it is happening the exact same way, essentially, that the NFL draft is going to run in less than a week, next Thursday. And you can hear all the coverage right here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app beginning at 6 o'clock. So what it is two people, two analysts, and it'll be Trey Wingo and a bunch of other analysts sitting in a studio kind of talking about the picks as they're about to happen. The same scroll and the same sidebar will be happening. Mel's top prospects left and, you know, the clock running and how many, you know, minutes are left or whatever's left. And then it'll go to the commissioner. And just like it did in the WNBA draft where the commissioner was at her house, and Roger Goodell will be at his house and he will hold up a jersey and say the pick is in, and with the number one, the first pick or second pick or third pick, blah, 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 blah. And then it will go to that person's house. Let's say it goes to Joe Burrow's house. Joe Burrow's house for reaction. The whole family will be clapping. Joe Burrow will do his little handshake and wave and thank you, thank you, thank you.
Who's he waving to?
The people in the camera. Okay. Be like, thanks. And then it will go to a highlight package where in which Mel Kiper will talk about Joe Burrow and how great he was and how he's 45 years old and how he's a great quarterback.
He's not 45
and all this kind of stuff. And then it will go back to Joe Burrow where he will be holding a microphone, an ESPN microphone, doing an interview as the next pick is now on the clock and then the Redskins and so on and so forth. Very seamless. By all accounts today, just watching it for the hour that we were watching it here in the studio, very seamless.
Yeah. The WNBA draft looked completely normal.
Absolutely. There's nothing than the actual people walking up on stage and hugging the commissioner or handshaking with the commissioner, whatever it is.
It looked good.
It looked like you would never even know that drafts were not done this way beforehand. The difference is no one's going to be in the building. No one's going to be sitting at tables with their family or their agents or their former coaches or whatever. It's just going to be people in their houses or wherever they're doing their quote-unquote draft party, probably in their houses as everyone's at home. And that'll be it. And you've got, like, I think there's like 100 or some odd prospects that were given equipment to have said interviews done after they're selected, so probably the first, second, and a little bit of the third round. But then, as you know, watching the draft, Chris, once you get into the fourth and fifth and sixth round, they don't really announce the picks. You just kind of, the Lions have selected this person.
Right,
the
it just Bears flashes on the screen, and then they move on. And
it's
sometimes,
like a talking head show, basically, at that point with Mel and McShay.
Listen, to me, as a football fan, there is almost nothing better than the NFL draft.
Oh, I love it. It's great.
And consuming NFL draft coverage.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't understand the people who say, not for me. Like, do you not breathe? I get it. Not every pick is important.
Yeah.
But it's fun because everyone has a chance. And every team can find someone.
Mm-hmm.
And I like seeing the different guys from college. I like seeing the different teams. I like seeing the team needs.
Mm-hmm.
I like seeing them fill said needs. That's all stuff that I geek out on, and I really enjoy the NFL draft. So, to me, I'm looking forward to it because it's something that I look forward to each and every year. I'm not just looking forward to it because, man, there's no sports going on.
No, it's a draft.
Dude. No, come on. It's the NFL draft. It's fantastic. I think it will be fine the way that they're going to do it remotely. I think it's funny that they're going to hold their mock draft on Monday. Wondering what teams will have technical issues. Are there any older individuals running organizations that might have some internet problems? Because as two of the younger guys, usually you and I at the station have to help people with their internet issues or their technology issues. And it seems like you become as a younger person an impromptu IT individual. Mm-hmm. So I wonder if that's going to be a scenario that teams are going to have to deal with. Like, is Jerry Jones, because he's the owner and he's the GM of the team, like, is Jerry good? Is his connection good? Does he know how to troubleshoot said connection?
Here's the thing, Chris.
What? What do you got?
I have no sympathy for dudes that are running billion-dollar entities to have internet problems.
Hey, man, I'm just telling you.
I get it.
We had the news last week that Saban just got email.
Yeah, but that's because he doesn't need to waste his time with the Groupon deal of the day.
Well, do you think Jerry Jones does?
Well, Jerry Jones better figure. You think that Jerry Jones is the one sitting at the computer making the pick? He's sitting in the room being like, take that guy, take that guy.
That probably is. He's probably got a big board and he's got a dart. And he throws it and goes,
we're going to take this guy.
Hey,
and I want that guy. He's not sitting there with the computer pouring over tape and stuff like that.
Does he get finger pistols?
No, he's got actual pistols.
Well, he's not a real cowboy.
No. He's got like the cap guns. Just like they put caps in it. They put blanks in it. So he's not shooting through the ceiling. But I think that's what you're going to... Look, I don't have any sympathy for these guys and their billions of dollars and not being able to figure out how to do this draft.
Well,
figure it out.
Neither do I, and I'm excited for it. You and I will be here on Saturday afternoon from 2:30 to 6, breaking down the NFL draft with you. If you're a Bears fan, an NFL fan, we'll be talking with you next Saturday during the final rounds of the NFL draft. We'll have all your coverage here on ESPN 1000. This Sunday, Abdallah and I will be back 8 to 10 a.m. We'll get you ready. The Last Dance is on Sunday night. We'll talk about also Connor Rogers joins us to preview the NFL draft on Sunday. We'll talk to you then.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.